So what do we say to a man who got married to his wife because he didn't want to be involved in sexual sin outside of wedlock, but now that he's married, he's not happy with her as a wife? What does he do?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today from The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, coming your way from Phoenix, Arizona. I will tell you what I'm doing in Phoenix in a moment. And I want to tell you about a very important giveaway that we have through the entire broadcast. In fact, write this number down, 1-800-278-9978. You don't have to be the first caller or the 10th caller. This is going to be to every person that calls through not just this hour, but the entire 2 hours that were on the air and all different stations across America. 1-800-278-9978. Especially if you have never ordered from us or have never called for a free offer in particular, take advantage of this. But this is for everyone. I'll tell you about that in a moment. I'll tell you what I'm doing in Phoenix in a moment. I'm going to be answering e-questions today. That's how I have to do the program. But I'll be interacting as well on Facebook as much as possible. So go to Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And as I did last Friday, I'm also going to take some holdover calls on Monday. Those of you that were looking forward to talking to me, asking your pressing questions, we will be taking your calls on Monday instead of today. Okay. I'll tell you why I'm in Phoenix in a moment. This all is going to tie in together. We are constantly bombarded. You're bombarded with it in schools and places of business and church discussion through the media day and night. We're misusing the Bible. You're abusing the scriptures. That, look, the church is on the wrong side of slavery, and the church is on the wrong side of segregation, and the church is on the wrong side of women's rights, and now the church is on the wrong side of homosexual practice, and you're misusing the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice, and that's not what the scriptures really say. Well, I did a very in-depth, sensitive lecture on the subject, are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? About an hour and a half of solid teaching with detailed PowerPoint notes so you can follow along and read this. And did this entire lecture as part of a series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? It's like a $60 multi-DVD series. I want to send you, absolutely free, the first DVD of that series. It completely stands alone. This is not to try to get you to order the rest. This is a gift to you. It lays out first a summary of what the Bible says about this. It's so important that we know. Every pastor, leader listening, you need this, and it's free. An hour and a half DVD to watch, okay? I don't know what it would normally sell for, $15 or something. It's yours, free for the asking, postage paid. If you can help us with a gift to offset the cost of this and to help us reach more people, wonderful. But I want to send it to everyone free. Get it for your pastor. Get it for your friends. Get it for your kids to watch, your teens. Essential. Call this number right now and call through the program. 1-800-278-9978. One per person, of course. It's absolutely free, though. 1-800-278-9978. Okay, I'm in Phoenix because I am doing a plenary session, so one of the keynote speakers at the annual convention for NARTH, National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. This is for psychologists and psychiatrists and mental health professionals and professors. What am I doing there? I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a trained counselor. I'm not a mental health professional. I haven't come out of homosexual practice. Same-sex attraction is not part of my life or background. I'm there because of the calling of God. I'm there because the Lord called me to get involved in these issues, to reach out to the homosexual community with compassion and to resist gay activism with courage. I've written about it extensively in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I interact with who NARTH is and their history. And out of appreciation for the book I've written and out of kindred hearts, I've been asked to speak there. Friends, when things like this happen, it just reminds me that if God calls you to do something, He will open the doors. I'll give you the full report about the convention, God willing, on Monday. Make sure you call. Get the free offer now.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming your way from Phoenix, Arizona. Listen, if you are in the area, I'm scheduled to be speaking at a Messianic congregation tomorrow, Saturday afternoon at 4:30. I'd love for you to be there. It should be a special day. They've been having a focus on prayer and intercession. I plan to be bringing a message on effective prayer, persistent prayer, focused importunate prayer. So if you can join us, please do. And again, I'm taking e-questions today, as well as Facebook questions at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. But please jot this number down, because we're giving something away absolutely free through the entire broadcast. When I brainstormed with staff, and I thought, okay, what could we get to everyone that is so important? It is this 1.5-hour DVD lecture, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? It'll go through what the Bible really says about these issues, and it'll be, I mean, I'm talking about eye-opening. When you go through the scriptures on this, it'll be so informative and helpful for you. Not only will you be edified, but you'll be confident and able to help others, especially if you've never ordered from us or received a special free gift from us. By all means, call 1-800-278-9978. The DVD will be sent to you free and postage paid. 1-800-278-9978. If you'd like to sow into our ministry when you call or become a monthly torchbearer, that's awesome. But everyone that wants this, get it. And if you don't think you need it, you probably need it more than others. Okay, before I get into your e-questions, we talked about the very unfortunate situation where the Girl Scouts of Colorado have allowed a boy to join because he identifies as a girl, which opens a million questions. We've talked about a lot, and I wrote about in my article the boy who joined the Girl Scouts, which you can read on townhall.com. If you haven't yet read it, just go search for that on townhall.com, and you'll find it quite eye-opening, and the article has several very painful, distressing examples in it. But we need to know it. This is happening on our watch in our society. Well, GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, which I see is really the Gay, Lesbian, Sexual Education Network, based on what they want to put in schools, they have congratulated the Girl Scouts of Colorado. Quote, families with transgender children have limited access to school or community resources that promote their child's healthy development. Hey, friends, sending a boy to be with Girl Scouts does not promote the healthy development of a child. And sending a boy to be with Girl Scouts is not going to help his peer relations with other boys in the school. And having him do girly things with Girl Scouts is not going to help his development as a boy. And he is, in fact, a boy. Maybe he needs help. Maybe he has confusion. But I've been getting emails and comments from readers of the Town Hall article or folks listening to me on radio saying, hey, look, when I was 3, you know, I wanted to marry my sister. You know, when I was 4, I was a girl. I was convinced I was a boy, whatever. And a lot of people outgrow things. You said, yeah, but it could be different here. Well, are you an experiment? Well, now he identifies as a boy 2 years later. He gets to be with the Boy Scouts. Well, now he identifies as both. Can he go back and forth? Hey, Los Angeles School District, their gender policy says gender identity is how a kid feels about themselves, not their biological sex. So gender, you could say I'm male, I'm female, I'm both, I'm neither. That's the school policy. Documented in A Queer Thing Happened to America, the third chapter. The statement continues. Yesterday, the Girl Scouts of Colorado, it's just a couple days old now, welcomed a transgender child to join a local troop and become involved in its activities, emphasizing empowerment, skills building, and community service, and emphasize being a girl. Girl Scouts are for girls. I mean, this is so maddening. There is an outstanding need for promoting respect and inclusion in both our schools and communities. GLSEN, don't talk to me about respect and inclusion. Don't talk to me about that in our schools and communities. GLSEN, you know for a fact that you shut out actively any ex-gay voice in the schools, that you actively shut out anyone in the school saying, you know, I came out of homosexuality. Hey, kids, you're being told this. I want you to know there's another side to the story. Or, you know, there are some dangers and difficulties with same-sex practice and so on. Oh, no, no. You're not allowed to talk about that. Kevin Jennings, former executive director of GLSEN, made it clear there is no other side to the story. The continuing Glisson statement, nearly 64% of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender students are called names or threatened at school simply because of their gender expression. Okay, we teach our kids to be nice and respectful of others. But what do you expect? You got a bunch of boys, and here's a boy who dresses like a girl and wants to use the girl's bathroom. These are those six-year-old kids. You expect them to say, oh, yeah, we understand. You might just be transgender, you know, or you may be suffering from gender dysphoria. I am not mocking the struggle some people go through. I am mocking the idea that society is now going to be transformed to embrace something that is abnormal and a need that needs attention and help, not to change everything around to conform to that need. Like I said before, it's like a kid who's deaf in the school and now the other kids are not allowed to talk. They all have to use sign language. In addition to ensuring safe and respectful schools, youth organizations like the Girl Scouts serve as significant forms of support for promoting the healthy development of children. Oh, God help us. Yeah, that's why you got Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. We applaud the Girl Scouts of Colorado for extending their message of courage, confidence, and character to all children who identify as girls. Why do you have to be a child who identifies as a girl? I mean, what if you're an adult? What if you're a 40-year-old adult and you identify as a little girl? Can you be in the Girl Scouts? Wasn't there some reality TV show about a guy, or at least I read an article about it, a guy who identifies as a baby and he likes to sleep in a crib and have his diapers changed? He's married! Doesn't he have every right to? Okay. Back to your questions. If you haven't called yet, 1-800-278-9978. Pick up the phone now and call our team, ready to take your call for a free giveaway. I don't think we've ever given away a DVD like this to every caller. This is not the first caller or the 10th. Every caller, a 1.5-hour DVD, my lecture on Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Practice? I'm telling you, it'll be eye-opening, informative. So many of the questions that come up that you might be befuddled by, here you will get solid and clear answers in a way that you'll be able to follow and communicate to others. So take advantage of the special offer, 1-800-278-9978, free and postage paid. All right, let's start with this question from Daniel. A friend of mine has a question about his marriage. He says he got married just to have sex without sinning, but now he wishes he was single because his wife hates correction and he gets annoyed by her easily. He feels she is weighing him down. He doesn't want to live in this regret or hate his wife. He needs some spiritual advice. Okay, here is the spiritual advice. Son, time to grow up. Time to grow up. If you cared about this woman enough to have sex with her, and enough to make a vow in the sight of God and man to death to us part, she is your wife for life. And there's enough about her that you care about. Because I can't imagine that the only thing you're attracted to was sex, and you went all the way through marriage just because of a sexual attraction, someone with nothing else. But be that as it may, you are married to her, and in your marriage union, God has joined you together. But it may be the wrong, but no, it doesn't say that in Scripture. God has joined you together by your coming together in marriage and a sexual union. You are joined together for life by the grace of God. And young man, assuming you're a young man, you need to humble yourself and love your wife the way Jesus loved the church. You need to honor her and care for her and put her first and don't set yourself up as her spiritual daddy, but as her husband. Well, she doesn't respect me enough. Walk in a way worthy of respect and watch what happens. Become like Jesus to her. Lay down your life for her. She prefers things a certain way. You know, she likes the house a certain way. She do your best to do things in a way that would make her happy. And lay down your life for her. And be a man of God to her. Pray for her. And be a godly example. And don't try to force her into a certain spirituality that's not natural to her. Instead of saying, that's flower, that's wilted, that plant is wilted, water it. Water it with love and compassion. I want to encourage you to go to my website. And since I got an e-question, you know my website because that's where you wrote, askdrbrown.org. And I want you to look in the free online library. And under spiritual growth, you'll find a message, husbands love your wives. So just go to askdrbrown.org and put in the word husbands. And I want you to listen to that message carefully because it's a message for you. How to love your wife. Now, here's the wonderful thing. as you will love your wife the way Jesus loved the church, as you will love your wife by putting her first and caring for her, as you will love your wife by doing what is best for her and not thinking selfishly, you will end up a blessed man. You will end up with a wife that loves you and cares for you. You will end up with a wife that brings joy to you. And as you lead in a godly way, it will set an example that she can joyfully follow. Humble yourself, repent of sin in your own life, and lay down your life in love for her, and you will have a blessed marriage. Okay, one more time, 1-800-278-9978. Call now to get absolutely free, postage paid, the 1.5-hour DVD lecture, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? Trust me, it'll be one of the most helpful resources you've ever gotten in your life.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. You know, it always amazes me in just a joyful way how much joy I have in being on the air and talking to you and interacting with you. And even on a day like today, as we're coming away from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm just taking e-questions and answering questions on Facebook and directing all of your calls to our team, ready to give you something free at 1-800-278-9978. So even when I'm not talking back and forth, I know you're there. I know you're listening. Most of you listening live, many listening by podcast later on. So it's just a joy to be talking to you. Again, the number for our free DVD, 1-800-278-9978. I'll be giving that out throughout all hours of broadcasting today, but this is the time to call because we have a lot of extra folks on hand ready to take your calls. My lecture on Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? It's a must resource these days. There's so much confusion. I lay out what the Bible really says about these issues concisely and clearly. And what about slavery? What about women's rights? What about segregation? What does the Bible say about these things? Wasn't the church on the wrong side of those issues? Isn't the church on the wrong side of homosexual issues? Massive contrast. You'll find it tremendously helpful. Every pastor, leader listening, please get this for yourself. I wish I could come to every one of your churches and congregations and share this personally, but here's a way to do it. Show it to your whole congregation with my blessing. Show it to your house groups, house group leaders, individuals. Listen, get copies for your friends and other leaders, one per person, of course, but just get it, circulate it. 1-800-278-9978, free and postage paid. It would sell, I don't know, with postage, $15 or $20 to get it normally, but it's your gift today. All right, back to your e-questions. Oh, let's go here to Matt. Hi, Dr. Brown. This is a follow-up from a previous question I had a couple of months ago. A friend of mine who is a pastor of a church is going to preach on the preterist view of the end times. So that would be the view that passages like Matthew 24 and other key New Testament prophetic passages have already been fulfilled. The prophecies have already been fulfilled. And that affects, of course, your view of the end times. He seems open to speaking to people who can refute him, though. My question is, would you be willing to have him on the air to debate him? I know that I've heard a few callers over the past few months come from preterists, and I believe we need to stop this move toward this view any way we can. Would you be willing to do so? My stance is your stance. I hope we can work out a debate on the air if possible. If not, I understand. Thanks for your time. Okay, here's the deal, Matt. I need to be fair when I have people come on the air to debate me. In fact, this Monday, oh, please, if you're in the military, if you've got military background, and you want to weigh in on this, I plan to be debating on the air Nathaniel Frank, who is a gay author, one of the most influential books on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell issue called Unfriendly Fire. We're on opposite sides of this, but he's a scholarly young man and a clear-headed thinker and a nice guy to talk to. We're going to be discussing things. So Monday, the first half hour, so 2 to 2:30 Eastern Standard, great time for you to call in from the military to share your perspective about this. But what I was saying, Matt, is I need to be fair to people when I have them on the air, meaning if I have someone who's not qualified to debate or who's not used to radio, it's not fair to my hearers, it's not fair to that person, and it's not fair to the position. In other words, if I can demolish that person's position, well, maybe they're just not a good debater, or maybe they're not accustomed to radio, or they're great preachers, but they're just not good in this kind of interaction. So what have we demonstrated? What have we proven? Really nothing. So I need people that are qualified, not because I'm trying to avoid it, but because I'm trying to be fair to that side, okay? That being said, by all means, I would set up a day for him just to call in as a caller, all right, as opposed to a formal debate. And if he wanted to raise his main points or questions, I would gladly set up a time where I'd take some extra time. And if he was doing really well, if he was ably presenting his positions and he had a good phone line connection also, because sometimes people call in and it's not the best connection. You know, they're driving with their cell phone and we're going to lose them. But I'll give him as much time as he merits and deserves. So let's pursue that, all right? Have him contact us or you contact us, and then someone from our office will go from there with him. All right? Elizabeth asks, Dear Dr. Brown and staff, I was listening to the programs of interviews with missionaries. Friends, if you missed those, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. I was wondering if there is a list of missionaries and their needs. I would love to intercede daily for them by name. Oh, Elizabeth, that is awesome. Go to fire-international.org, fire-international.org. You can also get on the missionaries' personal mailing list as well, because there are newsletters that go out from every one of our missionaries every month, and a number of them are in sensitive countries. We can't give their exact locations, but you can get a lot of information just from the website. Elizabeth also asks, it also occurs to me just now, perhaps your ministry might have specific needs for which I could pray. Of course, I pray for you and your ministries in general, but I think the Lord likes to hear about specific issues from his children. I've been out of work for 6 months, so I do not have a way to give financially. However, I have more than enough time to beseech our Father on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Messiah. Elizabeth, thank you. That is very meaningful to me and to our team. So let me present a few needs, and those of you that love to pray, jot this down, all right? Jot this down, those of you that love to pray. Number one, pray for me, for Nancy, for our team, that we will be more devoted to Jesus than we've ever been, that we will walk in greater closeness to the Lord than we've ever walked, that we will be more focused on Him and on things that matter for eternity than we've ever been. I love the Lord. Our team loves the Lord. Nancy loves the Lord. Many times, the busyness of life and ministry mean that you can be running hard for the Lord and not spending sufficient quality time running hard towards Him, running hard after Him. So that's always something that's important to pray for everyone doing ministry work, but pray that for me, for us. Pray also that the Lord will give us greater clarity and greater anointing and greater open door for this message. Pray that for us. And pray that God will raise up thousands of torchbearers, monthly supporters. We are on the air every day by faith. People have helped us be on the air with very significant gifts. And day by day, we get more and more torchbearers. But since you can't give, you can do something even more important, which is pray. So pray, believe God with us for thousands of torchbearers, monthly supporters that will enable us not just to be on all the shows, programs we are now, but to expand massively so we can blanket the country with this voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And pray also for the supernatural distribution of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Thank you for asking. All right. Now's your time. Call in. Absolutely free. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And get a free copy, not just of a CD today. First time we've given out free DVD to everyone that calls. A DVD you can watch on video. Hour and a half lecture. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? Boy, is this an essential topic. And boy, does this lecture open things up in a life-changing, informative way. So take advantage of this, 1-800-278-9978. And hey, if you want to be an immediate answer to prayer, become a torchbearer, so into our ministry, that's the number to call. We'll be back with a whole lot more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Greetings and blessings to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. Another reminder that if you are in the greater Phoenix area, I'll be speaking, God willing, at a Messianic congregation tomorrow afternoon. That is Saturday afternoon at 4:30. So regardless of what you've got going on in the morning, you should be able to join us. Do I have the info in front of me here? Congregation Baruch Hashem, 4:30 in the afternoon. So for info directions, just click on AskDrBrown.org. I'm taking e-questions today and questions on Facebook. In fact, I'm going to look for some Facebook questions in a moment and see what we've got here. But we've got a free giveaway. Yeah, it's free and it's a giveaway. And postage paid. Really important. 1.5-hour lecture I did. So important. I thought, I've got to get this. How can I get this out to more people? Yeah, you can get online and find the link, but I want to get a DVD in your hands. You can watch it, look at it, share it with others. Here's the way to do it. Call 1-800-278-9978. We'll send it free and postage paid, especially if you've never taken advantage of a free offer from us. Please do so. And we'll send you the 1.5-hour lecture on DVD to watch on your computer, your TV screen, whatever you want, are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? You will find it tremendously eye-opening, tremendously helpful. Okay, my article is up on Town Hall. It's been up through the day on mutant as a code word for gay in the X-Men movies. Mutant as a code word for gay in the X-Men movies, as well as my article. That's on townhall.com, as well as my article, A Gay Activist Butchers the Bible. That's on voiceofrevolution.com. Okay, I'll go to Facebook a little bit later, and I'm going to try to answer some questions directly on Facebook. But let's see, back to your e-questions. Oh, let's see here. Okay, hello, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking the time to read my email. Just a quick question that I'd appreciate if you could answer. It's from Nico. There's an internet ministry with the name of, I'm not going to give it because I haven't researched it yet, who's spreading false doctrine on the banner of a Jewish Messianic Pentecostal ministry. First of all, I know that Pentecostal and Jewish Messianic does not blend too well. Well, actually, they do. There are Messianic Jewish congregations that are charismatic and Messianic Jewish congregations that are not, and Charismatic Pentecostal congregations that are not Messianic Jewish. They blend just fine. This ministry is probably 15 years old, have many hundreds of sincere followers who believe that anyone who is not part of them are enemies, which I'm one. Please clarify for me what is the correct name of God, as the cult calls him Yah, which according to my understanding is not too accurate even from a Jewish Messianic point of view. They also refer to the Holy Spirit as Mama Wisdom or Mama Shekinah, also seen as the Queen of Heaven. Now, that's a mocking comment. I'd love to hear inputs on this matter. Thanks for everything you do to reach the Jewish people for our Lord. Yah is short for Yahweh, and that's fine. Hallelujah is praise Yah, but it's certainly not the exclusive name to use for him. So Yah is a name, but Yahweh would be the more full name. But in some of the biblical names, if you have like Eliyahu, my God is Yahu, that's short for Yahweh. But then you can also have like Yirmiyahu or Yirmiyah, which would be Jeremiah's name with a Yah at the end, or Hizkiyah or Hizkiyahu, Hezekiah. So you can have Yah at the end of a name. But in any case, Yahweh would be the proper name. Yah is for short. The Shekhinah is the rabbinic way of speaking of the presence of God on the earth, and it speaks of the motherly aspects of God. And they may be referring to that. Now, if they're saying, if you don't say this and don't refer to it this way, that you're in error, well, that's nonsense. If they're simply using some Jewish expressions to enhance the teaching, that's fine. But I'll look into them more, let you know what we find. Okay, 1-800-278-9978. Have you called yet? What are you waiting for? Free, postage paid, important DVD sent to your door from me. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? Watch it on DVD. It'll change your perspective.
Shake the nation, change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us on this Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers. I'm taking your e-questions today and your questions on Facebook, but I'm going to reserve extra time on Monday for calls that come in on random subjects, as I did this past Monday. Coming away from Phoenix, Arizona, I'm here for a few days of ministry, speaking at the NARTH Convention, National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. A great honor for me to be there with them. I am not a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a mental health professional. I'm someone, though, that has gotten deeply involved in the societal issues having to do with homosexuality, because of which, and because of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which gets into the whole ex-gay question and the stifling of scientific evidence, I've been asked to be part of this. So my great joy and honor. And then speaking at a Messianic congregation tomorrow afternoon. So those in the Phoenix area, please do join us. In fact, I've got to remember to say that a few times, especially a little later in the day on another segment of the broadcast that folks in Phoenix in particular will hear. Here's the number to call for a free DVD. If you've never called us to get a free offer or to order from us, this is your day. 1-800-278-9978. Call now. We've got extra staff on hand to take calls when we do a giveaway like this. We've never given away a DVD. We've given away CDs before, but never a DVD. To everyone that calls, 1-800-278-9978. In-depth teaching, are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? Boy, you'll find this eye-opening. You're going to want to share it with friends. You're going to share it with people who disagree. Sit down and watch it together. It'll be eye-opening, enlightening. It could change your kids' perspective. It may be just what your pastor needs to watch. 1-800-278-9978. If you want to sow a gift into our ministry to help us reach more people or become a monthly torchbearer, which would be awesome, and we sow into every month, 1-800-278-9978. Okay, this is a question from Tanya. I was at the Southern Evangelical Seminary in Charlotte this weekend, meaning this past weekend. Thank you for speaking the truth about sexual sin so boldly and its impact in our eternal home. We brought a group of 6th to 8th graders whom our church ministry is teaching about sexual purity. One of the topics the teachers and I have been discussing is the occurrence of nocturnal emission in young teenage boys. We found reference to this on one translation of Deuteronomy 23:10. After hearing your lecture, I feel you'd be a great resource to direct us in your teaching on this subject. Any help you can provide is greatly appreciated. Our goal is to help them understand their acharit, their final. I hope you got a copy of that. That was our last giveaway 2 weeks ago. The final consequences of sin and righteousness. In fact, the response was the largest to any giveaway we've ever done, which thrilled me because I know the impact this message will have on you that listen. And we're still sending them out. So if you didn't get yours yet, it'll be there any day. The response was just so large, it took us a little while to catch up with getting those out to everyone. So what about nocturnal emissions? If you don't understand what's being spoken of, don't sweat it. It's not described as sin in Scripture, okay? If someone's asleep and wakes up to realize that something has happened while they were sleeping, there's not sin associated with that, okay? And there could be, is the body releasing something in a young person? That's possible. Now, here's the issue, though. Thought life. Thought life is the issue. What are these kids thinking about? What are these kids dreaming about? If they find they're having sexual dreams, if they're waking up in their conscience, they have memories of sexual dreams, if they are watching sexually themed movies or things on internet or playing video games like that or just hanging out with girls and flirting in certain ways or just focusing on them physically, and this is leading to a thought life filled with lustful thoughts, that's what you have to deal with. That's what you have to focus on. It's the thought life, is what they're meditating on, what they are giving themselves to. But the thing in Scripture, God is concerned with conscious acts, with conscious acts. That's the issue. Something that happens in someone's sleep and they wake up and realize that, the Bible does not describe that as sinful, okay? It's the thought life that would be the issue, and that's what you want to focus on. This is from Esai. Shalom, Dr. Brown. I thank Hashem, which is a traditional Jewish way of referring to the Lord, literally means the name. I thank Hashem deeply for your ministry. Thank you for helping extend God's gospel to the world. My joy, my privilege. I'd run into something that had caught my eye because noticing that the Israelites in the Torah don't have last names, I kind of knew that Tishbite was a title or maybe a position, like Judas Iscariot, for example. So Iscariot is Ish Kriot, a man from the town of Kriot. Reading several articles, I came to the statement that Tishbite means settler or even possibly foreigner, and also that Tishbe of Gilead, of Gilead just means foreigner of Gilead, would just be the Toshve Gilad, the foreigners of Gilad, or better, the settlers, those who dwell there. Can you please help me, Dr. Brown, answering this question? Thanks and shalom. Okay, there is some discussion as to whether Elijah was an Israelite or not, okay? That has been discussed. And does it say Tishbite, is that something foreign? Or was he just someone who dwelt in Gilead and, you know, Toshvei Gilad, as another expression, I should say, separate expression? I believe, personally, that Scripture would have made a much stronger statement, a very explicit statement, if he was a Gentile who had then settled among the Israelite people. The idea that he could have been received as a prophet of Yahweh as a foreigner, or as a foreigner who had settled among the Israelites and now was living as one of them, I see no way that that would have happened. I see no way that that would have happened or could have happened. And therefore, in all honesty, I have no question that he was an Israelite. Scripture would have had to be very, very explicit if that was not the case. Sabrina, aloha, Dr. Brown. Does that mean that you're writing from Hawaii? I would assume so. Especially looking at that email address, sure looks like it. Aloha. Yeah, I have fond memories of my time in Hawaii. My questions springboard from another listener's question, and your response is about 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Said that this was added. This was added to the text. Yes, we know from all manuscript evidence that this was added in the Middle Ages, that this was added late to what's even known as the Textus Receptus. So, yes, later edition. I absolutely believe in the Trinitarian doctrine of Scripture that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. And, yes, no question that this was added late. So I don't use that verse to support Trinitarianism because it's not in the Bible. Understanding that this Scripture was added to the Bible, which is a serious offense in my words, what other Scriptures have been added to the Bible that should not be there? Ah, okay. When I said a serious offense, I was interacting with people who were talking about tampering with the Bible and tampering with Scripture and back and forth and things like that. And I said, hey, listen. If you're going to add something that wasn't there, that's a serious offense. So that was my point. The fact that it's in harmony with other Scripture is positive, and yet it's an addition, okay? So the question is, what other Scriptures have been added to the Bible that should not be there? The NIV and other translations remove and change so much of Scripture, so I study from the King James and Amplified versions. However, what version should we as believers study from and follow that is a more accurate translation? Yet the NIV and other translations are not removing and changing much of Scripture. They're simply translating differently than King James and the New King James. Each translation in itself is a commentary, as translators are doing their best to convey from the original language to the modern language. If you wanted to, if you're used to the King James, use the New King James. It doesn't have the majesty and power of the King James, but it does have better textual evidence to deal with. It does have better understanding of the Hebrew and Greek, and the language is more contemporary. Otherwise, the ESV is a very reliable version. The NIV reads more smoothly, but often is not as accurate. So the ESV would be fine to study from. If you use the Amplified Bible, use it in a secondary way. Because what the Amplified Bible does, first, it gets away from the power and style of the biblical author by expanding on things in a way that takes away from the rhythm and the beauty and the power and the succinct expression. But it also gives you all possible meanings of words and verses, and it will tell you too much. So it's a value, but in a secondary way. Okay, let me remind you again, 1-800-278-9978 is the number to call. Okay, I'll say it more slowly. 1-800-278-9978. You just tuned in. All right, preacher, what are you trying to sell us? I'm trying to give something away. I'm trying very hard to give something away because it's one of the most important resources we have, and I want to get it into every one of your hands. It's a DVD, not a CD. It's a DVD, all right? And it is on an in-depth teaching, what the Bible says about homosexuality, and are we using the Bible, misusing the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice. Such a critically important lecture in the day in which we live. Everyone will be able to follow it. Free, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Back with some Facebook questions.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here we go. Our last segment of this hour on the Line of Fire. The number to write down, 1-800-278-9978 for free. Free as in F-R-E-E. Free as in no strings attached postage paid gift from our ministry to your doorstep. 1.5 hour DVD. We want to send out to every one of you listening, especially if you've never ordered from us or received something free from us. We'd love to get this to you. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? What an eye-opening talk this is. And it'll lay out things for you with a clarity perhaps you've never seen before. Call to get it free, 1-800-278-9978. Of course, we invite your donations. Of course, we invite you to become a monthly supporter. That undergirds our whole ministry and helps us reach more people. But don't let lack of funds stop you. We want to get this to you as our gift, all right? 1-800-278-9978. Okay, we're on today's broadcast. You've got questions. We've got answers. We're focusing on e-questions and Facebook questions. Here's an interesting question from where is it? I was just looking at it. Did I lose the? It didn't. Here, from Michael. Here we go. Just curious. I watch and listen to a lot of debates, and there are some I would like to see, but I don't know if they ever happen, or am I just unaware of them? For instance, Ehrman, meaning Bart Ehrman, Dawkins, Richard Dawkins, or Hitchens, Christopher Hitchens, debating a scholar from any other religion outside of Christianity. Do they happen, or is it just a beef with Christianity for them? I'd love to see Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses debate, an LDS scholar and a Muslim debating prophethood of Joseph Smith versus Muhammad, a Kala versus Zenu debate. But I'm not familiar with some of those. I'm serious. Am I missing them, or do they not happen? Is it totally us against the world? I know Muslims will debate, you know, because they do outreach. And I'm sure Mormons do on a certain level, with Ehrman's, Dawkins, Hitchens. Hitchens agreed to debate anyone that would pay him his fee and debate him on the God issues. So I'm sure he would readily debate someone else. I know Bart Ehrman, in his book, God's Problem, about suffering, that he and I debated last year at Ohio State University. He made the comment that in terms of the issue of suffering, that the Buddhist position may have some appeal to it, but you know, he hadn't looked into that as thoroughly. That wasn't his background. But would they debate others? You know, that's a really good question, Michael. So I'm actually raising this to say, all of you who know of such debates, maybe a Muslim debating a Mormon, that kind of thing. You know, great thing, an LDS scholar, Latter-day Saint scholar, and a Muslim debating the prophethood of Joseph Smith versus Muhammad. How about us say that both of them were false prophets? Yeah, if you know about such debates, go to Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, and just scroll down a bit. You'll find Michael's post there, all right? Or send us a note at AskDrBrown.org. Click on Contact Us, and then we'll pass that on to Michael as well. Some other links. I'm sure they're there. I haven't searched for them myself. Okay. Let's see here. Another Facebook question. Derek, may I ask you, Dr. Brown, what are your views on areas on dispensationalism and our covenant theology, and how do we look at the church in Israel without too much confusion? My college I'm attending, we are dispensationalists. We hold to the Abrahamic covenant is unconditional and eternal. But how do we look at this error? If you could help this, I greatly appreciate it. Yeah, Derek, I appreciate the various theological approaches. I appreciate truths that are in each of the different systems. I would not hold to a dispensationalist approach myself, which would say that the current age we're living in now is the church age, and it's a giant parenthesis in the, or the parentheses on either side of this age, bracketing in the church age and separating it from Israel. I don't believe that that's a biblical distinction that should be made. So very simply, the way I look at it is this. God has always desired to bless the entire world. When I was at the wedding, the Hasidic wedding, the wedding of Rabbi Shmuley's eldest daughter this past Tuesday night in New Jersey, I was talking with a religious Jewish man, a young man, and we're having this very discussion. I said, look, God's intent was always to bless the whole world. That was always his intent, to bless the entire world, right? And in order to do that, he raised up Abraham, and through his seed wanted to bring blessing to the whole world. So it was never just about Israel. God dearly loves his people, Israel, and entered into a special relationship with them and gave them more, and they were therefore accountable for more. But it wasn't just for them. It was to bless the entire world. So that has always been God's intent. And his intent was, through the Jewish people, that the Messiah would come into the world and that his Jewish people would be the ambassadors of that message. Now, as the nation of Israel fell short of its calling and only a remnant embraced Yeshua and began to make him known to the Gentiles, now this message of the one true God began to spread, and those of the Jews who believed and those who the Gentiles believe are part of one family, one spiritual family we call the church, the congregation, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, this one family. And Jews and Gentiles who do not believe are outside of that. And God continues to work to bring the nations in, and God continues to work to bring the lost sheep of the house of Israel in. Now, the only distinction is that the lost sheep of the house of Israel still have a certain role. And Jesus has basically said in Matthew 23, and there are other passages that point in the same direction, I'm not coming back until you welcome me back. I'm not coming back until you welcome me back. Because this started with you, and you are my people, and you are going to have to receive me. Just like Matthew 24:14 indicates that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a witness in all nations before the end will come. I don't believe that can be locally interpreted. I believe it's best interpreted on a global level and is a great commission verse. Make disciples of all nations is a great commission verse. So the gospel must spread through the entire world. There must be a harvest of souls from every tribe and language and people and nation before the Lord will return and establish his kingdom here on the earth. In the same way, there must be ultimately a turning of the Jewish people. Now, at the end of the age, what percentage of the Jewish people will be alive? God knows, but this much we know, there will be a national turning. And Israel still has a special role because of God's covenantal purposes. Not because they're better or worse, but because of God's covenantal purposes. Hence, Romans the 11th chapter, the 28th verse says, as far as the enemy, right in the Gentile believers, they, the Jewish people, are enemies on your account. But as far as the patriarchs, they're loved. They are loved, because of the patriarchs, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So that's my short answer. Hopefully you'll find that useful. Have you called yet? What else can we do to get this in your hands? Free and postage paid. 1-800-278-9978. We've never given away a DVD like this to everyone, but it is so informative. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? What a critically, critically important DVD to watch and share with your friends. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. If you can sow into our ministry to help us get this out to more people, wonderful. But take advantage of this special offer. 1-800-278-9978. Call the first moment you have opportunity, because we have extra folks on staff to help handle the calls today. My bottom line, be assured that God is at work in the earth. Be assured that God is not letting things get out of control. Be assured that what may look like chaos to you is not without purpose. God is King. Well, here's a fascinating question. am I being selfish by taking time away from other things and other people in order to spend time with the Lord?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming your way from Phoenix, Arizona today. You've got questions, we've got answers. But I want you to write down an important number, because through this entire program, we're going to be giving something away, a very, very important DVD, critically important DVD, so important that we're giving it away, not to the first or tenth caller, but to everyone who calls. So jot this number down, 1-800-278-9978. I'll tell you more about that momentarily. Also, you can post questions on Facebook. I'll be doing my best to interact in real time with some Facebook questions at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And I'll be taking your e-questions today and then catching up with phone calls on Monday. It's absolutely fascinating that I've been invited to speak at NARTH this weekend in Phoenix. NARTH is the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. It's for mental health professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, educators in this field, counselors in this field. I'm none of the above, and I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist. I'm not involved in a counseling ministry to the homosexual community. I don't come out of a same-sex attracted background, so I can't even contribute a testimony on that line. But God has called me into this, as you know, if you listen to the broadcast. He called me to write A Queer Thing Happened to America and laid on my heart the burden to reach out and resist, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the activism with courage. And so we've been steadily involved in doing that for years now. And because my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, deals with the question, can people come out of homosexuality, deals with the stifling of scientific debate, among many other things, it was deemed worthwhile for NARTH to invite me to speak at their conference. So I'm honored to do that. And it just reminds me again that when the Lord burdens you about something, he will open the door. So it's my privilege to come in and serve folks from diverse backgrounds this weekend. And also, if you're in the greater Phoenix area, Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon, Congregation Baruch Hashem. Okay, before I dive into your questions, it's just something remarkable, utterly remarkable. I talked about, was it on Wednesday, how Chick-fil-A has been blasted, and now Equality Matters has said, and they've researched it, in 2009, Chick-fil-A gave $2 million to anti-gay organizations, including Focus on the Family. They give like $12,000 to Focus on the Family, evil of evils. And then they gave almost $500,000 to the notoriously demonic, devilish, terrible people, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Oh yeah, what else am I going to do but be sarcastic when you get blasted for donating to these fine Christian organizations? But then the worst of all is they gave $1 million. $1 million to a family marriage organization that their own one of their own leaders in the Catholic family helped set up. Well, and it's designed to strengthen marriage and help develop lasting quality marriages. And they gave $1 million to it, and they're blasted. How could you do that? And then I just get sent an ad, you know, Wells Fargo participating in gay pride events, and how much money they give to GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and on and on and on. And they're praised for it. And this is wonderful. And major organizations, major businesses around the country sink millions and millions of dollars into gay activist organizations that promote things that in many cases are reprehensible. And that's praiseworthy. Chick-fil-A gives to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Focus on the Family, and to a family marriage ministry, and they're condemned. God help us.
Give us strength to all
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. You've got questions, we've got answers. I will be responding to Facebook questions actually in real time as much as possible, trying to post some responses on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, so you can post some questions there. Also be responding to e-questions today and then catching up with phone calls on Monday, God willing. I'm coming away from Phoenix, Arizona today. But very important, write this number down, call the first moment you have, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. I want every one of you listening, pastors, leaders, parents, young people, singles, married couples, every one of you listening, I want to send you free and postage paid an hour and a half DVD of a talk I gave, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? Not only will it clearly and concisely review what the Bible says about homosexual practice, not only will it do that, it will also counter the common objection clearly and going through the scriptures. Well, the church was on the wrong side of slavery. The church was on the wrong side of women's rights. The church was on the wrong side of segregation. The church is on the wrong side of homosexual practice now, and it's going to learn its mistake and repudiate things. We systematically destroy that argument using the scripture and using history. You will find it amazingly eye-opening. It sounds like I'm trying to sell it to you. I'm trying to give it away, okay? We've gotten great responses from those who have watched this. It's part of a $60 series, a teaching series, Can You Be Gay and Christian on DVD. But this stands by itself, and it's yours free, okay? Call us at 1-800-278-9978. Request a copy if you want to sow into our ministry to help with the donation, enabling us to reach more people. That would be awesome. If you'd like to become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter, and hold our hands up as we stand on the front lines of moral culture revolution, as we stand in through the gospel, not through hatred and violence or anger, but through the gospel, as we stand on the front lines of Jewish evangelism and outreach and apologetics, as we stand on the front lines of equipping God's people to be world changers, you share a part as a torchbearer. But everyone, especially those that can't afford this, please call 1-800-278-9978. We've got extra staff standing by to answer your calls today. That's why you need to call today to get this. 1-800-278-9978. Okay. On Wednesday, I talked about the gay themes in the X-Men movies. Now, I'm not much of a moviegoer. As I've mentioned, the main movies that I've seen, or I think the only times I've been to the movies in years now, have been with the grandkids, or one time with Nancy to see the first movie in the Narnia series. And the reason I'm not much of a moviegoer is because I don't think there's much in the movies that's worth going to and seeing that would not have a polluting negative effect, and I don't have the time luxury, even if there was a godly movie every week, to just go see it. But I was flying to Hawaii, saw part of the most recent X-Men movies. I knew just by reading and by seeing one clip years back that there were very clear gay-related themes, mutant as a code word for gay, or mutant as a stand-in for gay, as one of the directors of some of the X-Men, even producer, writer of some of them, had mentioned himself. So I talked about it on the radio, researched it a little bit more, and then wrote an article on it that appeared in Town Hall, mutant as a code word for gay in the X-Men movies. And Ron sent in an interesting note. Hi, Dr. Brown, not to take away from your point on the parallels drawn between the X-Men movies and homosexuals, but I wanted to comment on the quality of the connection you draw. Back when I went to the first three Star Wars movies, I was struck by the number of Christian themes presented in the movies. Does that prove intent to promote Christianity? No, not necessarily. I remember an old Popeye cartoon based loosely on the story of Aladdin. Popeye makes this comment after falling into a dark cave. I wish I was lightheaded so I could see my way around. I was immediately reminded of the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit indwells us and in a way imparts the Lord's light into our life. I was also reminded of where Jesus says that we must do the work while it is light, because the darkness comes and no man can work. I equated Popeye's desire to be lightheaded to the Christian's desire to grow in faith and maturity in the Lord. Does that prove intent by the folks who did that cartoon? Probably not. I'd say even more than probably not. While I tend toward the thought that you see what you're looking for, I would wholeheartedly agree with you that inclusion of themes do influence the thoughts of the audience. We as Christians need to be fully aware of these kinds of influences so we can filter our experience. Thank you for bringing the influence you saw to our attention, and thanks for doing what you do. Ron, thanks for your email and for the reminder, of course, that we may see all kinds of themes in movies and media that are not necessarily intended to be there. However, in the case of X-Men, what's different is that producers, directors, screenwriters, and even actors involved with it have all said, yes, this was our intent. Yes, we put those themes in there. Yes, we were wanting those messages to get out, and even back in the comic books. So that's the difference. When you have the people involved directly saying, we put that imagery there for a reason. We put that message there for a reason. It was quite intentional and quite overt. And that's what I document with links in my article, Mutant as a Code Word for Gay in the X-Men movies. Now, one other issue of interest is that this is pervasive in media today. I remind you that there is an organization called GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. Well, they say against defamation. It's really against disagreement. And they vet shows, TV shows, movies, to make sure the content is acceptable. And there are messages that are so extraordinarily clear and overtly clear, and they're there for a reason. In other words, standard gay lines, like 1 in 10 is gay, or you're born that way, you can't change, or people who claim to change are really just secretly suppressing their homosexual desires, and on and on and on. You'll see these just weaved right into standard TV shows. I document this in detail in A Queer Thing Happened to America, the chapter on Hollywood celebration of queer. Okay, but thanks again, Ron, for the good word. Have you called yet? 1-800-278-9978. This is must-see DVD, free to every caller. This is not to the 10th caller or the 20th. Free to everyone. 1-800-278-9978. The DVD, my 1.5-hour talk, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Practice? It is so important to understand these issues. They come up everywhere. You can sit down, parents, with your teenage kids and watch it together. You can watch it in a home Bible study. Pastors, you have my permission, with blessing, to show it to your entire congregation at a Bible study, or to divide it up for a message over several Sundays. Do it with our blessing. 1-800-278-9978, free and postage paid. Here's a question from William, and the subject is selfishness. Hello, and God bless this wonderful ministry. You all really do a fantastic job. William, I'm taking it that you're not from New York City or Boston with y'all. thanks for the good word, William. Real quick, just wanted to get some thoughts on this. I recently got into a discussion about God and selfishness. Is having a relationship with God selfish? Is taking an hour or two of your day and devoting it to the Lord, to prayer, reading the Bible, etc., selfish? Even if it is just you and the Lord, and even if it takes away time that could otherwise be spent with a spouse, friend, neighbor, child, etc., I would argue it is not selfish but necessary. I just don't know how to get my point across that it isn't selfish. Am I wrong? Sorry, longer than I expected question. Thanks for any feedback. Continue the great work. My prayers are with you all. William, thanks for praying for me and our team here. Okay, in short, this is no more selfish than stopping at a gas station to fill the car with gas when it's about to run out or when you're going on a long trip. It's no more selfish than someone taking time to go to surgery who has a life-threatening condition, and if they don't get surgery, they're going to die. And it's no more selfish than someone who owns, let's say you're a farmer and you water your crops, or you seed your land. No more selfish than that. It's essential. It's foundational. Number one, from a divine viewpoint, he's God. He owns us. We belong to him. We're his children. We've been redeemed. And he calls on us to seek him first. He commands us to put him first. He beckons us to come and worship him and get in his word and to put him first above all. That's number one. Number two, it's essential in our own lives that we do that. It's essential that we get built up. It's essential that we put our roots down deep in God. Just like if you have a marriage, you're not being selfish to cultivate time with your spouse. So, and that's important for your kids and everyone around you. So it's essential, other than selfish, and to the extent I am plugged into God, to that extent I can bring life and healing and help to others. Now, what would be selfish is if I separate myself to God to the point that I completely neglect everyone and everything around me and dishonor parents and friends and needs around me in the name of God. That would be selfish. Quality relationship with God will help everyone and is ultimately selfless rather than selfish.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here we go. You've got questions, we've got answers. But first, write this number down. If you haven't called yet, make sure you call. Call within this hour because we've got extra team members available now to take your calls. 1-800-278-9978. This is not to go on the air. This is to get a free DVD. We've sent out free CDs over the years, but I don't believe we've ever sent out a free DVD to everyone who's called. But it's so important to get this resource, especially if you've never called us, if you've never ordered from us, if you've never received anything free. Please take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. My DVD lecture, 1.5-hour talk, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? Boy, will this open your eyes. Boy, will you find this practical. Hey, can I challenge you, even if you don't agree with my position, call and get this free, all right? There are no strings attached. Those that can help with a gift to the ministry to help us reach more people and send these out, that would be awesome. Those who want to become monthly torchbearers and hold our hands up, boy, we need many of you in each city listening right now to join us. That would be tremendous. But please take advantage of this free offer, 1-800-278-9978. Taking your questions via Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, SDR Brown, and trying to interact with some of them in real time on Facebook, and try to catch up with some of them later on the day on Facebook as well, and then answering your e-questions, and we'll catch up with calls, God willing, on Monday. All right, just looking back to another question that Travis posted on Facebook a couple days back. He says, in my humble opinion, all our translations are weak when they try to make the text more reader-friendly. Doing this robs us of being glorious kings and queens trying to disclose what God has concealed, Proverbs 25. Travis, it's a good question to ask about, well, it's not a question, it's a statement you made, about Bible translations. And let me explain this. The writers of the different books of the Bible had different styles. A book like Job is very sophisticated and very, very difficult Hebrew. I'm working on a commentary on it now. Sometimes I think, you know, what this is, just to translate this is monstrously difficult in many ways, as all biblical scholars and scholars working in Job, of course, recognize. And then you have other things that are written with such extraordinary simplicity that a child could read it and understand it with no problem. And again, different parts of the Bible, different authors, different styles. I mean, think of 1 John. You know, beginning Greek level, you get through a lot of 1 John. And then the simplicity with which things are communicated, of course, with extraordinary spiritual depth. So a translation like the King James, for example, with its majestic English and poetic power, is wonderful on a certain level, but then in other ways, because English has changed so much and because not all the Bible's written in that majestic style, that kind of misrepresents things. Also, what about translations for people for whom English is not their first language? How reader-friendly should they be? So it all depends what we mean by it. I agree with you, Travis. We can dumb the text down that takes away its power, takes away its clarity, takes away its majesty, or we can make it as clear as it was intended to be to the original audiences, and that is really the ultimate goal, isn't it? 1-800-278-9978. Please call to get your free DVD, My Talk on Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? You will find it one of the most eye-opening talks you have ever seen. Again, it's a DVD you can watch and enjoy. Roy asks, some Messianic Jews regard the Aramaic scriptures as the only valid texts, stating that some authors never wrote in Greek and Hebrew. What's your take on that, Roy? I address this in my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. You can find that out there. Or I've got a lengthy article critiquing the book Understanding the Difficult Words of Jesus by Roy Blizzard and David Biven. You can read that on the Real Messiah website. So simplest thing, go to realmessiah.com and just click on read, and you'll see the article there as you scroll down. But in short, Roy, we have no evidence that the New Testament was originally written in Aramaic. The common spoken language of Jesus and his disciples would have been Aramaic. You can make an argument that some of them would have known some Greek. You can make an argument that some of them would have known Hebrew to an extent. You can make an argument that Jesus may have done some of his teaching with religious leaders in Hebrew. But the common spoken language would have been Aramaic, hence terms and phrases like Talitha Kumi, which is Aramaic for a little girl, arise, get up. By the way, what's interesting is that when Peter raises Dorcas, Tabitha, from the dead, he says, Tabitha, get up, which would have been Tabitha Kumi. So he heard Yeshua say Talitha Kumi. Now he raises someone from the dead, says Tabitha Kumi. Anyway, you wonder if that was in the back of his mind because he was one of the group of a few that went in to raise this girl from the dead. But that being said, there is no evidence, no manuscript evidence of any kind that the New Testament itself was written in Aramaic. Every manuscript we have preserved was written in Greek. Now, there are some early church traditions that are repeated a few times over. So it's not all eyewitnesses, but a few of them repeated by different early church leaders that Matthew took the sayings of Jesus and put them together in Hebrew. Some would claim it means Aramaic. That's a whole other discussion. And then others translated them or interpret them as they could. Does that point to Matthew originally written in Hebrew? No, it probably points to a collection of the sayings of Jesus originally in Hebrew or possibly Aramaic. All right, not an original Hebrew Matthew. Was there one? It's possible. It's possible. But we don't have it, and what we have is an original Greek. So if Matthew wrote a Hebrew gospel, he also wrote a Greek gospel. The gospel of Matthew, scholars argue strongly, is not a translation from Hebrew or Greek. And there are some church leaders, early church leaders, who mention that they had seen a Hebrew gospel or letter to the Hebrews in Hebrew, things like that, a couple of letters. But that's all. Now, those could have been translations from Greek, or those could have been original Hebrew documents. We simply don't know anything beyond that. But what we do know is what has been preserved for us. Every document has been in Greek, okay? And every evidence we have is that they were written in Greek. Why? Because Greek, in particular Koine, which is the common language of the common expression of Greek used in contracts and everyday correspondence and interaction, that was the lingua franca. That was the common language in the ancient world. So if you're going to communicate to the widest possible group of people, that's the language you put it in, and that's why it was written in Greek. The point is this. If someone says, well, we have the Greek, but we are reconstructing the Aramaic or reconstructing the Hebrew or using the Peshitta, which is a translation of the Greek into Aramaic, and we're using that, no, now you're getting away from the documents that we have. So when people say, well, you can't really understand this unless you get the original Hebrew, original Aramaic, there is no original Hebrew or Aramaic that we have. If it's ever discovered, if it exists anywhere, wonderful. But we have no evidence that it does, and all we have is in Greek, and that's what we base our translations on. Okay, another reminder, friends. 1-800-278-9978. Call now, absolutely free. We want to send you my DVD, hour and a half talk, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Practice? You will find it incredibly eye-opening and very, very practical. 1-800-278-9978. Free, postage paid.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for being with us this Friday here on The Line of Fire broadcast. I'm especially excited to be with you because we are giving away a DVD, not to the first or the fifth caller, but to everyone. Everyone. That means you. Me? Yeah, you. Free DVD, one of the most important talks I ever gave, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? Such a critically important subject. I talked to my team about it. What can we get out that would really make a difference in people's lives? And I thought this DVD is so essential. We'll give you such clarity. We'll build your faith. We'll enable you to answer objections. And it's free, postage paid. But call now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. If you're able to contribute to help us reach more people and to send these DVDs out, or if you can become a monthly torchbearer, hold our hands up as we are on the front lines of, by God's grace, a ministry that touches the nation and the world and the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's wonderful. We'd be blessed by that. This radio broadcast is the hub and base of everything that we do. But by all means, especially if you've never gotten something from us, ordered or gotten something for free, please take advantage of us, of this. Those of you that don't have funds, please take advantage of this. We want to send this out free, and it's so essential. You know, people say, if it's so important, why aren't you giving it away? We're giving it away. 1-800-278-9978. All our friends in Phoenix, I'm in Phoenix speaking at the North Conference National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. I'm honored to be invited to speak there to counselors and psychologists, psychiatrists, and mental health professionals to address these critically important issues. And then tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon, Congregation Baruch Hashem in Phoenix, I'll be speaking there, bringing a trust and hope, an important message on prayer. So join us there if you can. And if you listen on the broadcast, please come and introduce yourself to me. Would you do that? And that'll be 4:30 Saturday afternoon. For details, go to AskDrBrown.org right on the homepage of the itinerary. Okay, before I get to your e-questions and before I get to your Facebook questions, I want to just share a little bit of my recent junk mail here. Boy, I'm... You know, it's so funny, you've got so many Islamic names and Chinese names. Hamad Abdulaziz says hello. Bank of China has a business suggestion. Mr. Ali Khalid greets me with Assalamu Alaikum. Alaikum. Mr. Lan Li, good day. Mr. Zhang Jingguo, no subject. I guess I would recognize his name, right? Ministry of Foreign Affairs is writing to me about fraud alert and compensation. Oh, this makes my day. I've gotten email, volume 11, issue 13, from the XRX Insider Knitting Newsletter. Knitting Newsletter. This is even more relevant to my life than the hunting junk mails I received. Oh, and the 2012 UK Olympic Committee wants me to know that I've won over £1 million. No, I misread it. Over £1 billion. No, sorry, just over £1 million. And then just some board somewhere telling me I won. And boy, I'm getting a lot of emails from the federal investigative, the FBI. And Mr. Ludo Wiengarten wants to hear from me. Customer service wants me to know. My fund is due for payment, and Shampoo Prachapur is offering me congratulations. And the Central Bank of Nigeria is writing yet again to me. Oh, and then the Windows Live team. With a Windows Live Hotmail verification email, your Windows Live email account has exceeded its limit and needs to be verified. If not verified within 24 hours, we shall suspend your account. Of course, they just need my personal info. Ugh. Anyway, can I just remind you, don't be taken in. by these scams. If you don't know the people, don't send any private personal info. But do call us at 1-800-278-9978 and get your free DVD on my talk, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? We'll be back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is great to be with you today on The Line of Fire as I come your way from Phoenix, Arizona. We are going to take extra calls, God willing, on Monday, okay? And today I'm devoting time to e-questions and questions on Facebook, and I'm going to try to respond to as many questions in real time on Facebook as I can, or even catch up with some later in the day. So that's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. By the way, did you get my email, all of you that do email, which I imagine is the great majority of those listening right now, did you get my email yesterday with links to three recent articles? A Gay Activist Butchers the Bible, which is printed on our Voice of Revolution online magazine, and the boy who joined the Girl Scouts, which was posted early this week on Town Hall, and the article on X-Men and mutant as a code word for gay in the X-Men movies, which was posted also on townhall.com. Did you get that email, which gave you the links and all the information and special offers for the week? No, didn't get, no. Well, that means you're not signed up, okay? So go to askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, as soon as you have an opportunity, askdrbrown.org and sign up to receive that free. And you'll get links to new articles and information and Best of the Line of Fire. And also, normally every Friday, you'll get an email, Monday morning, and that will tell you what's coming during the week and things like that on the broadcast. So please sign up for it, and you'll be blessed as you do. 1-800-278-9978 to get your free DVD. Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? You will find it faith-building, eye-opening, informative, compelling. So call to get it, free and postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. This is from Coptic. So this is a code name, but a Coptic Christian in Egypt. I am new to your program. I love it. Well, first, I'm so blessed that through internet you're able to listen, a podcast or live on our website, so I'm thrilled. Thank you. You restore my faith in America. Now, I want to take a minute and explain this to others. In much of the world, for example, in the Muslim world, America is perceived as, quote, a Christian nation, and Christianity to them is what we have on our movies, what we have on our TVs, what we have in our fashion circles and all that. In other words, our worldliness, our sin, immorality, decadence, that's what they associate with, quote, Christianity, okay? They don't know that there are believers throughout the country living holy, godly lives who completely stand against these godless values or this terrible lack of biblical and family values. So that's what they think Christianity is, what they see just put forth in America. Look, it's like I grew up in a conservative Jewish home and went to a conservative synagogue. Those who aren't familiar with Jewish practice and belief, conservative does not mean conservative the way we use it politically. It's very liberal in other ways, but it was a fairly wishy-washy Jewish upbringing. And I thought that's what Judaism was. This wishy-washy religion, and then I got saved. Well, this was wonderful. This is incredible, but, you know, not like this wishy-washy thing I was raised in. And then in 1973, I was introduced to ultra-Orthodox Jews that would have been very similar to, in fact, from the same sect, the same Hasidic sect as Rabbi Shmuley and his family are involved with, and the wedding that I went to, Lubavitcher's, the wedding I went to this past Tuesday night in New Jersey. So when I was introduced to that, I thought, okay, this is what real Judaism is. Not necessarily everything that the Hasidic Jews would do, but deeply devoted and hours and study and prayer and really trying to live by all the commands of the Lord and tremendous focus on seeking to please God and so on. I thought, okay. And of course, they told me if you were raised in this, you never would have believed in Jesus. Well, of course, there are people raised in religious Judaism that come to faith in Jesus Yeshua, and I'm in contact with some of them personally. And it happens over the years, of course. But the point I'm making is we often have a misconception of what a religion is or what a country is about. And I'm pleased that as this listener, Coptic, is hearing the program, it's restoring his faith in America. So there are many. I just want to assure you, Coptic, I wish I knew your first name, but just call you Coptic because that's what I have in your email here. I want to assure you that there are millions of godly Christians in America that grieve over the state of our nation, that pray for the persecuted church around the world, that are standing for righteousness, that are sending out missionaries. So Coptic writes, in my country, Egypt, they persecute Christians, but here in America, they persecute Christ himself. Please dedicate a program for what is going on in Egypt. To me, America started like King Solomon, asked for wisdom while seeking God, so God poured blessing on it. Now it ran after other gods, and we all know what happened. America, read the book of Judges in your Bibles and learn, and do not make me say, Jesus, the Lord, the living God, told you so, because then it will be too late. Thank you again for your fire. Keep it burning, all caps with multiple exclamation points. Coptic, by God's grace, we will keep the fire burning. By God's grace, we will get this fire burning brighter and brighter. By God's grace, this fire will touch more and more people. That's why this broadcast is called the Line of Fire. Fire is one of our favorite words, a holy, beautiful word. God is a consuming fire. He makes his ministers flames of fire. And yes, everyone here in America listening, take this warning from Egypt seriously. We started a certain way with certain blessings in our country. We have degenerated in so many ways through our history. We've been guilty of so many sins through our generations, and now are guilty of such a departure from God's word and God's truth, and many of the godly roots that we had in our country, despite the fact we've never been obviously a perfectly Christian country. But we need national repentance. We are reaping what we have sown. We are under divine judgment, and we need the mercy and grace of God. Coptic, I have talked some about what's happened in Egypt and some of the persecution of the Coptic Christians there and some of the dangers of the new Islamic regime or rising up, or the potential of the Muslim Brotherhood having more and more influence. But we definitely want to do more shows focusing on the persecuted church as well and focusing on Egypt. So thank you for writing in, and thank you for the kind words. 1-800-278-9978. That's not to call in. That is to get a free DVD. Hey, what can we do more than make it free and send it to you postage paid? Okay? And I also want you to know that you're not going to get a letter a week harassing you. No. We want to minister to you. We want to get this into your hands, all right? We'll let you know what we're doing in ministry. We'll invite you to be part of what we're doing. And those, pray for us, stand with us, share what we're doing with others. We want to minister to you. We want to build you up. That's why I'm on the radio. That's why, listen, if I was Rush Limbaugh, say, you know, the biggest radio star in America, I'd be getting paid megabucks to be on the radio, okay? I receive salaries from our school and our ministry organization, from my speaking and other ministry I do. I don't even receive salary for being on the radio. And we pay the radio stations to have this show on the air. That's how it works in Christian radio. No one's paying us to do it. We are paying to do it. So we are paying to minister to you, and that we want to send you, and we want to give to you a free DVD, okay? 1-800-278-9978. Those who say, I'm not interested in the subject, oh, you need this one. You really need it. Those who realize you need it, if you haven't called yet, do so now. My talk, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? It'll lay out clearly what the Bible actually says about homosexual practice. It'll lay out clearly through history and scripture. Have we been on the wrong side of slavery, women's rights, segregation? What does the Bible say? How does that apply to us now? You'll find it practical, eye-opening, life-changing. All right, can I do this quickly? Timothy. Hi, Dr. Brown. This question has been bothering me for quite some time now. My question for you is, when did morality arise? There seems to be two conflicting sides to this matter. On one hand, we would not know what is wrong until we are told what is wrong, as described by Paul in Romans 7:7. Also, in support to this claim, God would have not have given us the Ten Commandments if he felt we didn't need them. Following this logic, it seems morals did not exist until God established the law, revealing right and wrong up to that point. On the other hand, it appears we instinctively knew right and wrong, right from wrong. An example would be when Cain killed his brother Abel. Cain hid from God because he knew it was wrong. This, I believe, was way before any law was established. How did he know it was wrong? Leslie, what role is there conscience play in all of this? Okay, several levels of answer. Number one, God has written his law on the hearts of every human being. On a fundamental level, there is conscience. On a fundamental level, there is a recognition of right from wrong. On a fundamental level, every human being knows that certain actions are wrong because there is universal law placed there by the universal lawgiver. However, we are a fallen race. We have corrupted ourselves and therefore corrupted the image of God in us and made God into something he is not. Because of that, we need the specific commandments and laws to get us back on track. Because of that, we need specific commandments and laws to show us the right way. But there is more, and Paul gets into that in Romans, the fourth chapter. I'll finish this answer. We come back on the other side of the break, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Once again, I'm amazed that we are in the last segment of the broadcast already. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us here on the Line of Fire. You've got questions, we've got answers. Taking your e-questions now, your questions on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, and giving away, not to the first or the 10th caller, but to every caller, every one of you, if it's 10,000 of you, if it's a million of you, if it's three of you, every one of you, a free DVD. If it's a million, we'll be busy for a little while, but that's wonderful. Free DVD, Are We Using the Bible to Sanction Anti-Homosexual Prejudice? It's so important that you have this material, one of the most important eye-opening talks I've ever done, that we're sending it out free and postage paid, and it's a toll-free call. I don't know any better way that we could get it into your hands. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. I trust you will find this life-changing, eye-opening, and very practical. Again, Pastor, did I say practical? Practical. Practical. Yeah, I sometimes slur my syllables. Pastors, show it to your whole church. Bible study leaders, show it in your homes. Parents, teenagers, sit down and watch it together. You'll find it so practical, eye-opening, helpful. Try to get a showing in your school, Christian school, but go for it in a public school. Come on. Why not? 1-800-278-9978. And then I just ask this. Drop us a line. Shoot us an email, a note, and tell us how this has impacted you. We're still sending out copies of the Acharit message from those that called in for it. We got so overwhelmed with requests that it just took us a little while to get them all filled. So if you didn't get that yet on CD, it's on its way, I am sure. Okay, back to a question I was asked that I started on the other side of the break. It was a question about where morality originates from, and why does Paul say, well, when the commandment came, sin rose up in his life, you know, don't covet, but aren't there things we know, you know, right from wrong to start? So again, number one, God's word, God's law, God's truth is written on all hearts, all right? So on some level, people know that certain things are wrong. People may harden their hearts, but on some level, people know that certain things are wrong, even beyond what culture teaches. It's one of the evidences for the existence of God, a universal moral law. Secondly, because we have strayed and corrupted ourselves and fallen, we need massive reminders and we need to be instructed more fully. Hence, God gives his laws. And then those laws stir up and reveal the sin, the uncleanness in our lives. You know, it's just like when you see the thing, you know, don't touch. You want to touch, even though you weren't thinking of touching it before. That happens on a deeper spiritual level when it comes to sin. Now, along with that, though, Paul explains in Romans 4 that before the law was given, transgression was not regarded. In other words, law breaking. Certain things were still wrong, but you could not be guilty of violating a specific commandment until that commandment was given. So you might know, for example, it's wrong to drive recklessly, even if you haven't heard of a speed limit, that you just know intuitively it's wrong to drive recklessly because you almost got killed going 100 miles an hour down this narrow little road. But then if there's a sign that says speed limit 30, you are now guilty of breaking that specific law. Now, conscience comes in that to the degree that we're sensitive to the Lord and the word is stored in our heart, our consciences will be more and more sensitive to him. But many can sear and harden their consciences. Okay, Ed asks, a lot has been said and written about homosexual marriage lately. What era do you suppose to be the most tolerant and socially progressive? The Greeks, the Romans, the Age of Enlightenment? Why then didn't these non-judgmental societies themselves institutionalize same-sex marriage? Exactly, Ed. In other words, you had societies in the past where homosexual practice was welcomed. In Greek society, it was common. It's a so-called mentoring relationship where a man would have a younger boy in a sexual relationship, and then when the boy became a man, the same thing. And that I can't verify this quote, but I've heard it said that, you know, in parts of the Greek world, you had a wife for children, you had a mistress for sex, and you had a boy for fun, you know, for the sexual fun of that. Well, and the quote I just gave is by no means exact. But why didn't people sanction same-sex marriage then? Why didn't they say, well, this is marriage? Because they understood, even though there are all these perversions and other issues, they understood what marriage was. And we have gotten so far away from that. We have departed in so many ways from the foundations of marriage that we have now opened ourselves up to the insanity of redefining marriage as the union of two people. So, excellent point, exactly right on with your question there. Keith asks, Dear Dr. Mike, my question relates to what God's will role is for the husband, father of the home. As I understand it, God desires for the man not only to love his wife as Christ loves the church, but to also be the leader of the home. Does he mean financially too? I felt a continuous conviction from God since I was married 7 years ago to become the main breadwinner of our home and allow my wife to spend more time with our only daughter. However, our circumstances have not allowed us to make such a move because it would seriously affect our ability to pay off our debt. Do you have any godly advice which would bring some relief to this situation? My wife and I are both tired of this role reversal, but maybe we're being a little too old-fashioned. Thank you and God bless. P.S. Thank you. Thank your staff for me as they're always so helpful when I inquire about different issues. All right, staff, are you listening? Are your ears burning there? That's it. Keith is thanking you, and I'm thanking you for being conscientious and helpful. All right, Keith, follow your convictions. Follow your convictions. If you are a responsible working man and not a slouch, and you have the ability to bring in funds, follow your convictions, and by all means, be the leader. By all means, shoulder the responsibility. If it means paying off a debt more gradually, then do that. If you have to go to the people to whom you owe the money and reconstruct a way to pay it off and just be responsible with it, do it. But be the leader, and perhaps as you do this, God's blessing will come to you financially. Perhaps as you do this, things will begin to open up that haven't opened up for you before. Perhaps as you do this, you will see breakthroughs. Follow the convictions in your heart. Put first things first, and step into it as much as you're able. If it has to be incrementally, do it incrementally. But I affirm it. I agree with it. By all means, do it. And I do see the husband father as the one that should be the principal provider, barring completely unusual circumstances. David asked the question. I think I answered it on a Facebook post as well. Regular listener from New Zealand. So since you're listening from New Zealand, I just want to answer quickly on the air. Ruach Elohim, does that mean the godly spirit versus the spirit of God? Ruach HaKodesh, is this the Lord's own spirit, not a separate spirit from the Lord, so on? The way of expressing things adjectivally often in Hebrew is to use this phrase like the spirit of the Holy. And that's, so Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, those are the right ways to express it. Okay. Out of time, 1-800-278-9978. You must call today to get this free DVD. I want to send it to you. It's life-changing, free, postage paid, informative, edifying. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? Free and postage paid. Our gift to you, a DVD to watch, life-changing. My bottom line. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do not be moved as society shakes around you. Jesus is Lord, remaining on his throne. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.